our scripture reading, let's look in Ruth chapter 1 together. Ruth chapter 1. This entire book is worthy of reading from beginning to end. I would encourage you to do so. It bears the name of Ruth, but really it's all about Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, and a beautiful story of redemption. Boaz being a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land." Shows us that the Lord's people are not exempt from the troubles and difficulties that are brought into this world. The Lord causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, and when he brings famine for his purposes, many times the Lord's people also are affected. So here a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. I remember Moab was over on the eastern side of the country of Israel, and Moab was one of the descendants of that illicit relationship between Lot and his daughters when they had escaped Sodom. And so was considered to be a condemned country, nation. And yet, for God's purposes, it was there that he would take this family, this man, and his wife and two sons. It says the name of the man was Elimelech, which means God reigns. And the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. So here we are from Bethlehem, which means the city of bread, down to Moab, a country that was cursed. Sometimes you pause and wonder about God's direction and providence and how it is that he directs his children. What we do know is that he does all things for his purpose and his glory. And what we're going to see in this chapter is he brought these here for one purpose, to bring the Moabites out of Moab, that he would deliver and to make to be a child of the Commonwealth of Israel, who was more than that, would actually be in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. But here it says Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. Again, we see that those that are the Lord's are not exempt from the trials and troubles, even of death. In a perfect world, we'd see this and think, well, they all ought to be together, but that wasn't God's purpose. The husband died, he was the breadwinner. And she was left and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. Again, some would find fault with this, saying, well, they did contrary to what the law dictated in that they were not to marry any foreign women. And yet, even in this, the Lord was directing. God rules and overrules in all things, in all matters in life. So the name of the one was Orpah. It was one of the women of Moab that was married to one of the sons. And the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. So even here we see God's sovereignty and that he determines the times and the seasons. It wasn't that they were just to go down there for a brief season and hurry back to Bethlehem. God was accomplishing his purpose even in these 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. I know some read this and think, well, what kind of God is this that continues to kill off the husbands and the men and leaving the women to be widows? But again, God is sovereign and he owes no man anything but death and condemnation. That's who we are as sinners. rather than be surprised when he inflicts death, we should be surprised for how he keeps us alive in his mercy. All the days of our lives, the scriptures say, are written in his book. You can't add to it or take from it. So we see the unfolding of God's purpose even here, that the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. In that case, it's God causing her to be entirely cast upon him. While we would never desire that for any one of us, our family members, or ourselves, yet when God brings it to pass, it is that we be cast upon his mercy alone. So here it says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Here we see the desire of Naomi not to remain estranged in a foreign country, but to go back. And when it says she had heard, this is like the hearing of the ear that the Spirit gives to draw a sinner to Christ, how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Christ, the bread of life. That's what draws sinners to him. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. Here she is encouraging these to turn back. I know some would find fault with her and say, well, no, she should have encouraged them to go because they were going to Bethlehem, the place of bread. But it's the Lord that draws. And I believe this is what Naomi here is insisting on, that unless the Lord has drawn you to follow me and to come, then you'd be better off staying where you are. And the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. And she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Now here was their first remark. They said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Orpah said that, and Ruth said that. It's like people today that say, no, we're going to follow the Lord. Well, that's the profession of the mouth. But even Christ himself said, unless a man renounce himself and take up his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. And Naomi knows this, that this is not an easy journey. You don't just do this out of your own efforts and desires unless it's the Lord that's drawing you. So Naomi here is really testing the will of the Lord, that it be of the Lord and not that they're just following her. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? What she's saying is, following me, you're pretty much destined to a life of celibacy. Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay with for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. She recognizes here that it's the Lord chastening her. And that is particular. The Lord custom makes his chastisements for his children, whom he loves, he chastens. And so she acknowledges that all of this is for her sake. They lifted up their voice and wept again. Now, here's where we see the divide. Because given time, those who are not truly the Lord's will go away. Whatever is not of the Lord will be uprooted. And here we see Orpah kissing her mother-in-law. So there's a divide. But Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people. And notice, under her gods. So unless the Lord has worked the work of grace in the heart, to serve the one true and living God, to turn from idols to the true and living God, those left to their own profession will go back to their gods, the gods of their imaginations. Notice here it's in little g or ds. And so she continues to persist with Ruth. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. This is not a popular way of doing evangelism. In our day, it's like any little breath or motion, people are saying, oh, good, yeah, come on, let's go together. Here, Naomi is making it clear there's a divide, that to follow her and to go back to where she came and to worship the one true God, it's not just for anybody. And so she continues to press Ruth to go back. Why does she do that? Again, whatever's of the Lord, it'll manifest itself. And so Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. Here's her confession. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Now, this wasn't just an outward profession of faith, because what we read here says, and thy God, my God. You cannot dissuade any sinner from looking to the Lord God, through the Lord Jesus Christ alone, where God has been pleased to do that work. You can't. They won't go back. They won't go away. When all those left following our Lord Jesus Christ, and in John 6, and the Lord looked to his disciples and said, will you also go away? He said, to whom shall we go? That's what the disciples responded. You are the one that has the words of eternal life. That's the persuasion of those that the Lord has taught by his Spirit. And she goes on, where thou diest. This is not just a temporary profession. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. That's where it says, when Naomi saw, she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. That's where you bow and say, well, it must be the Lord. I love that. She was steadfastly minded. That singular eye that the Lord gives to sinners that he draws by his grace to the Lord Jesus Christ. So they two went together. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? It's clear there was an agreement here. Until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? Remember, 10 years has passed. She went out full, as she says here, but she's come back empty. She said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. This is how the Lord deals with his own through his chastening, be emptied of ourselves. Whatever the affliction through which he brings his own, it's not to destroy them, but to empty them of themselves and thereby then strengthen them in following after Christ. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord, there it is, she acknowledged that this was of the Lord. People try to find fault and say, well, if she hadn't followed her husband down to Moab, these things wouldn't have happened. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. There's no woulda, coulda, shoulda with God. God was directing it all. Notice, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. You can almost hear Job speaking there. He thought he knew the Lord, but now if the Lord had revealed himself in him, he repented in sackcloth and ashes. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess. It's like Rahab the harlot. There was no way, according to the law, that Ruth should ever have been received into the commonwealth of Israel. But that wasn't even a consideration in Naomi's mind. Looking to the Lord purposing this, she knew that the Lord would direct. But it wasn't by free will for her to be received into the commonwealth of Israel. It would take a kinsman redeemer. That's what the whole story is about as you get into chapter 2. That's where the Lord raised up a Boaz. a wealthy man, a mighty man. Everything about him is descriptive of Christ and all of his grace, abundance, to save the worst of sinners. But here it says, so Naomi returned and Ruth the Moabite. The two were brought together in God's providence for this purpose. Her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem. I love this, in the beginning of the barley harvest. It was at that time when the Lord would begin to bless and provide the bread for his people, Christ being that bread. Well, I hope that whets your appetite to read on, but that's all we have for this hour. Gracious Father, thank you for your word. What a beautiful story. So many illustrations of how you direct in the lives of your children and how any of us, if we are yours, it's because you so purposed to draw us by your grace. So I thank you. I pray that you would bless our meeting together and the rest of this hour around your word. We give you the praise, honor, and glory in our dear Savior's name.